This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. And injury attorney David Femenino has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femenino, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track, getdavidgetpaid.com. 3 o'clock, good to have you with us. Odyssey.com Rewind, you missed anything? We've still got people who want to rap about the Four Nations face-off, which we will, because it's must-see TV tonight. But I want to mix this in and work with me on something. And I have a feeling David's going to play the Debbie Downer thing, but I can defend this case. So we've joked here the last couple of weeks, this Matthew Stafford to New York thing. I have no idea where it's from, but NFL reporters are starting to lean into it. So I decided, all right, let me see the betting odds on this. Like what does FanDuel or DraftKings or what do the books have to say? And to my surprise, the Giants were the second choice on the list. And the first choice piqued my interest. And I immediately thought of the topic I'm going to present to you. The first choice on the list at plus 300 is the Minnesota Vikings. Now, what the trade would look like is unimportant. Whether it's J.J. McCarthy picks, it's not the point of our topic. The topic would be this. We've talked about the NFC North being the best division in football already. So what happens if Matthew Stafford replaces the soulless ginger pumpkin? Because I could make a case to you that with Stafford's arrival, Jared Goff would be the worst quarterback in the division. Now, when I say that, don't get a visceral response because what I'm about to say next, think about it. You could be the worst QB in the division if all the QBs are in the top 10. Now, why would I say that? Well, Love was not good this year. Health. Go look at what he did the back half of 23 and damn near beat the Niners. When he's healthy, he's got top five upside. Caleb Williams is getting Ben Johnson. Jared Goff is losing Ben Johnson. And Matthew Stafford is better than Jared Goff. Period. You could in a heartbeat go from chanting this man's name at a grocery store to him being the fourth best QB in the best quarterback division in all of football. Now, if you want to say, hey, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, I'll say Dak Prescott and Tommy Porkchops. If you want to say, oh, well, what about the West? What about it? Homeless Geno Smith, whoever the Rams trot out, combine driver Purdy. Like, we can play this game. Baker Mayfield, Michael Penix, a Mardi Gras parade float, and Bryce Young. No, guys, this division is going to be the best QB division in football already. But if Stafford comes here, what is your reaction to that as a Lions fan? Because this is a part of my concern for the team. Now, I'm not going where Rieger's going. I know Rieger's doing this whole miss the playoffs thing, but he's more right than he is wrong. Not totally right, more right than wrong. Is that people want to dismiss Ben Johnson leaving. That flies in the face of everything you guys fought so hard to tell us the previous couple of years about how he won't leave us. His kids love the schools. If he's good at his job, which he is, you must accept that. He is going to make Caleb Williams better. And if you dig into the numbers with Caleb, he did not have a bad rookie year. And there could be a major jump for him. And if I take the guy who saved Jared Goff's career and he's in Chicago now, what if Goff regresses by 10%, 15%? What if he's just not quite the same? Now, while everyone's yelling, let Brad cook and we don't need Myles Garrett, you might have the worst of a great group of quarterbacks. But who's drafting Jared Goff over Caleb Williams if they're starting a team? No one. Who's drafting Jared Goff over Jordan Love if they're starting a team? Not many. Who's drafting Goff over Stafford? I don't think anybody. Do I still like Jared Goff? Of course I do. But if you're in the best quarterback division in football, and now all of a sudden like this, Jared Goff has the best season of his life, and he ain't going to live back up to that. Other guys are getting better, and Matthew Stafford lands with weapon. I mean, come on. Sam Darnold was able to win 14 games.
No, I'm laughing because you're correct. Like last year, Goff was the best quarterback in the division. If you came in, it's like, oh, yes, he's better than rookie Caleb. I think Love was probably the only one, but nobody thought Darnold was going to do what he was going to do. But you're right. You put him with all of those weapons.
Pretty scary.
Yeah. Because you look at what he did out with the weapons he had with the Rams. Yeah, he's going to put up some offensive numbers. And I think the selling point for me, the tipping of the scale is Ben Johnson leaving. Because, yes, even though I thought that Caleb Williams was, he was just oversold to me. But when I actually go back and I look at the numbers, it's like he didn't have a bad year.
No.
He was on a bad team. No O-line, really. He needed a lot of weapons.
Fired coach.
And a coach who's an idiot who just basically froze up on Thanksgiving Day and is like, I don't know what to do. You give him Ben Johnson, and that could be the tipping point. Because, yeah, Love, I like what he did at the end of that year. Even when he played Philly out in Brazil before he got hurt, he was really competitive. And then it took him some time. I think he came back way too soon, and you saw that. He was out there on one leg. Mm-hmm. But Green Bay had to, and you know, this isn't the NBA. He's going to play. But when you really look at it like that, yeah, because I'm like, no, he's, you know, Goff's going to be better than Caleb, but no, it's going to be Caleb and Ben Johnson.
And again, just to highlight the year Rico's talking about here, and I think it's important you look at this. You're talking about Jordan Love in 2023, right, when he was healthy, age 25 season, 32 touchdowns, 11 picks. 65% completion rate and damn near 4,200 yards as a 25-year-old in his first year starting in the National Football League. He was hurt all year this year, from day one with the knee to midseason with the groin. I'm just making a point to you. Stafford coming to this division would be a distinct problem. I would be terrified of having him back here because, candidly, the trade worked for both teams, but if I have to say who won the trade, it would be the Rams. I know you agree with me. Mm-hmm. They won the Super Bowl. You have not. It worked for both. But if Stafford came here, he could end up costing you double time. Because if Matthew Stafford is on the Minnesota Vikings, I can't say with a straight face, oh, yeah, you're better than the Vikings. Was I hallucinating when in the last game of this season it was a winner-take-all?
Nope.
Would Stafford elevate the Vikings or not?
Yeah.
Okay. So
not redheaded.
All right. Then we factor in the Bears are going to be better. I think you factor in the Pack are going to be better.
See, I think you got to factor in the Pack are going to be better.
Fine. The point is, what is your reaction to this? Because look, it's all hee-hees and ha-has. And it is fun for radio. If Stafford became a Giant, it'd be hilarious. Be great for this show, for sure. He'd probably show up and break his spine or something ridiculous. But if Stafford comes to Minnesota, and for whatever reason, they're the betting favorite, does Sean McVay like JJ? Is that what that is? I don't know. But bottom line,
I think
I'd be terrified.
The reason why I think Minnesota is because you could probably work out some type of a trade and you can ship JJ there and McVay. He's young. That team will be under the cap and they could really kind of jumpstart the Rams. You got a defense that's already good, so you don't need JJ to be great. So, yes, that's probably why I think the Vikings are the betting favorite because they would ship JJ to LA.
Also, just want to point this out. The last 5 weeks of this season, when Love started to get a little bit healthy, 15 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks. I'm just You can sleep on him. You can hate him because he's a Packer. You can hate him because he's got a weird-looking face. He's got that pouty look. You could hate him because he throws the ball off his back foot. You can do whatever you like. The point is, Stafford coming here. What's your reaction to it if it happens? If he goes to Minnesota, I'll tell you right now, that would put me in the Rieger territory.
He goes to Minnesota. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, because now I'm thinking you probably.
And notice these people ain't calling.
You're not winning the division. He goes to Minnesota, you ain't winning the
division. They know. They're scared. That's what this is right here. This is the sound of fear.
Because Sam Darnold took them about as close as you can get.
Look at what you played this year to go 15-2. I don't care. I'll say the quiet part out loud. You played a rookie quarterback who had no guidance and a fired coach. You played an injured Jordan Love, and you played a soulless pumpkin. Now flip that into next year's edition. Healthy Love, Caleb with the wizard Ben Johnson, and Matthew freaking Stafford. This is the sound of trembling. So let's talk about it. And if you disagree, you can have whatever reasons you want. But why are the Vikings the favorite? Where did that come from? My point to you is you want him on the Giants. You do not want him in this division. In a year, you lost seven coaches.
in a year where your offensive coordinator is now in Chicago.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, David, I know we were way too verbose. I want to get your take on this, catch up on the text, and then we've got people who finally want to talk. It's just simple. I don't think it's provocative to say you do not want any part of Stafford coming here. Why the Vikings are the betting favorite, no clue. But the conversation about, in the span of a year, I think you can have a conversation about four of the top 10 QBs in football would reside in the North, and Goff would be the weakest of them. That doesn't mean you don't like Goff. It just means you're living in a potential reality. That's scary to me. It's all the more reason you're hearing our show talk about people like Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, upgrades, boldness. David, what do you make of all this? And feel free, if you want to make fun of me, I don't give a damn.
No,
I could disagree on the Jordan Love portion, but he has the potential to definitely be better than Goff. If he meets that potential, Lions fans, you better look out. What you also should look out for is Stafford to Minnesota, because if that happens, that may be the top five offense in the NFL already. Stafford with Jefferson and with Addison, and then whatever they do in that run game, offensive line, whatever they do there, that would be scary. And I don't want to hear from people saying, well, oh, Stafford's old and he's not better than – yes, he's better than Goff.
He has dragged the
Rams. Yes, he is.
He dragged the Rams to the 14-yard line with two cracks to win in Philly in the snow. Mm-hmm. You had to survive him twice in the span of a year in overtime. Like, it's okay to just say he's still balling.
Correct. And that would be very scary in Minnesota.
And think about it. He did that opening week with no wide receivers. He lost them both during that game.
Stop using facts. How dare you?
My bad.
How you know what?
No.
No, that's facts, not downer. Facts.
What do the Ticket Techs have to say before we go to the people?
Ticket Tech says, if Matthew Stafford gets traded to Minnesota, they will win the Super Bowl. I will literally guarantee it, playing indoors, nose to division, with those weapons on offense. That is from Marlin.
I'm not going to go that far, but I'll say this. If Stafford ends up in Minnesota, you're not winning the division.
Yeah, it's Minnesota's division to win. I think they will be one of the top three or four teams in the NFC.
I agree. Love has top 10 upside, but I think people need to cool it on him a bit. He's literally played half a good season. People act like he's Lamar of the North.
No.
Well, is that a good thing?
No, definitely not. No, and listen, there is an element of projection to this, but the projection works both ways. I also think Goff takes a step back. I don't think you're just replacing Ben Johnson. I don't think it will work as seamlessly. They had a very good relationship. It was symbiotic. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say Love steps forward with health, Goff steps back with lack of continuity. That's not provocative.
And think about this also. Ben Johnson had his choice of jobs and said, you know what? I want Caleb.
I know, and again,
I can do some stuff with him.
You can't tell a Lions fan that. I stop with your facts. Facts are mean. Cut that out.
I'm out. I'll see you guys tomorrow too.
All right,
97.1.
Rico will see you tonight at Chrysler. He's got a live shot on the 6 o'clock. Let's go to Brian on a cell. Brian, what's going on, buddy? I don't know what Brian's doing. It's only he was operating a forklift. We'll go to Mark in Rochester. Mark, how you doing, pal?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Excellent. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I got two things I want to talk about. First, my reaction to the Stafford thing, and then I have a theory. I'm not trying to derail your topic, but I have a theory I want to run by you and see if you agree with me.
Okay.
So, Stafford, listen, yes, that would be terrifying. I would immediately place a wager on the Vikings to win the division before the odds spiked. I mean, there's a lot of things in Minnesota that would be familiar for Matthew Stafford. Jay Jettis would be the closest thing he's seen to Calvin Johnson since Megatron retired. Kevin O'Connell is from the McVay coaching tree, so there'd be a lot of familiarity in the system, most likely. And then you look at, what does he have to work with? Listen, the Vikings have two bookend offensive tackles in Darisaw and Brian O'Neill. They draft a guard. They maybe draft a fresh leg running back to pair with Aaron Jones. And then on the defensive side, listen, you can disagree with Brian Flores about his blitz rate, but it led to the Vikings having the second most turnovers in the league.
Yes.
You don't think Stafford can take advantage of those turnover situations?
Yeah.
It would be terrifying. No, I don't want – well, why did you bring this news up to me, Mike? I didn't even hear this today.
Well, Mark, Mark, I think you also forgot something. He also has his security blanket that he's familiar with in his tight end, T.J. Hockenson.
That's also true. No, it'd be terrifying.
No, and that's – go ahead. Now, what was the other thing you wanted to get to?
Yeah, so I believe that NFL fans are getting smarter. I believe that the general NFL public opinion should be valued more. And the reason why is if you look at the past decade, fantasy football has gotten bigger. Sports betting has gotten legalized and gotten bigger. Data analytics in general, just like speculation, has gotten bigger. And I believe that's brought in a larger crop of data nerds, of smart fans. I believe that that has grown the percentage of the NFL fandom population into there's more people that know what they're doing and know what they're talking about as opposed to like 15 years ago. Now, why does that concept matter and why am I telling you about it? Is that Let's look at two schools of thought for general managers, Brad Holmes versus Howie Roseman. Brad Holmes will be smug and be like, oh, you guys don't really understand how complicated this is. And then we'll take, like, Jahmyr Gibbs in a shocking way. Versus Howie Roseman goes, oh, everybody says Cooper DeJean is the guy. I'm going to go take Cooper DeJean. I'm going to go take N'Kobe Dean. My point is that maybe the draft nerd, the sports betting nerd, much like myself, is they have a larger influence now. And the public opinion, because of that influence, should be valued more by these front office executives, as if pushing off like, oh, we don't care about the massive big board. And that's kind of all I'm saying here.
Yeah, no, and I buy into that. And again, when I say this, people think it's disrespectful. It's not. It's just I laugh when these GMs act like they're curing pancreatic cancer. They're playing fantasy football. Okay? You work for a billionaire and you buy and sell millionaires. That's it. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't take a life's work or commitment, but if all your life is doing this, all right, I'm not asking you to do anything else. This is your job. Yeah, no offense. There are harder gigs out there. I just laugh because we deify these people as if they're playing the game. Your job is to draft good players. You get to interview them. You have professionals scouting them. You get all the data. You have private investigators that know the last chick that they had sex with. All of it. I mean, you have former detectives, FBI agents. That is the NFL security division. Yes, I'd hope you could make a pick. The point that Mark is making is true, is that sometimes 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter, good player. Cooper DeJean, good player. I don't need to be outside the box. Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean.
Right. But it goes back to what we talked about during that blitz. You see this, but man, did you see, you know, the combine run? Did you see the 3-cone drill? Did you see this? Did you see that? And it's like, yeah, but I also saw him destroy Texas. He couldn't be stopped. Yeah, but and then wait, and then he went to LSU and dominated that. Yeah, but he looked a little out of shape and he didn't run quite as good as numbers as this guy.
It was very interesting, right? Mark calls in with this point. Okay, so did you see the draft grades that were given out yesterday? Which, again, I don't love draft grades. It's just something fun to talk about for 30 seconds. Right. What was the impact value of the draft grades last year? And I read this, and I forget what site put it up. The Lions were bottom five. I mean, think about it. Terry Arnold wasn't good. Rakestraw was hurt. The kid that Vaki just was a special teamer.
Manu
didn't play. So you look at that, and then you comp it to the Eagles draft, and you're like, oh, two guys that could have been defensive rookie of the year that were obvious picks. Like, it's okay to have either approach, right? Brad Holmes does a very nice job doing it his way, but Howie Rose's way has yielded more results. Just call it what it is. He's been to 3 Super Bowls in a pretty close span.
Yeah, it's on NFL.com, by the way.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that, buddy. 248-539-9797.
But you know what? I'd rather the grades the year after.
Of course.
Than the grades right after the draft. Oh, you nailed the draft. How do you know?
Yeah, and again, it's just for fun. I don't think it's gospel any way, shape, or form. But when people want to talk about let Brad cook, well, I don't have time to have another draft class like that. And when you're picking 28th, and when you're – look, I would much rather take those things – and get actualities. That's why we've been talking about the stuff like the Garrett, Hendrickson, Parsons, Crosby, you know, foursome here. That's what it's about. Especially when a team like Minnesota sitting there is a betting favorite to have Matthew Stafford. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not interested in cooking. I'm interested in, I need an answer for that. 248-539-9797. Here's Rico.
Oh.
Jesus. David,
no,
hit
no,
the
no,
button.
No, no, no. I'll explain later. Anyway.
All right, we'll get to the people. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything? We opened the show with the Four Nations face-off, the game we're all waiting for in about 4.5 hours. We'll get back into that later today. This hour, for whatever reason, betting favorite for Stafford is the Vikings. I think that's a disaster if you're a Lions fan. We talked through the quarterbacks. This could be the best QB division in the entire league. And unfortunately, it is not outside the realm of possibility. Goff would be the weak link of the division. Yes, I do think Ben Johnson's going to turn Caleb into a top 10 QB. Yes, Jordan Love healthy is. And yes, Stafford is better than Goff. And by the way, Goff losing Ben Johnson, problem in my world. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I think he comes back to the pack too. So something we were rapping about. Let's go to Paul. He's up next, 97.1. Paulie, what's going on, buddy?
Well, good afternoon, my old friend.
Hello,
Rico,
sir.
David, how hey, are you guys?
Good. Excellent. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm probably in the minority, Mike, but, you know, we all kind of saw the North becoming a powerhouse a couple of years ago, and it's happening before our eyes, and I actually embrace it. If Stafford comes to Minnesota, so be it. And as far as Goff regressing, he was top five last year. He's only gotten better since he's been here. And I know Johnson had a lot to do with that. However, it's still St. Brown. It's still Laporta. It's still J-Mo. It's still the running game. It's still the offensive line. And Holmes is not stupid. He's going to probably think to himself, well, I'm going to have to build me one hell of a defense. And I embrace it because I love good football. I would love nothing more than this thing to come down next year between Goff and Stafford.
Oh, man.
This is radio gold for you guys.
Why do you think we're talking about it? It would be, it is everything wrapped in one. Now, listen.
And then I don't have to hear about a soulless ginger.
Right. For ease of use. Ease of use, send Stafford to the Giants. Leave the Lions alone. But for radio purposes, no, Paulie, you're spot on. This is a pot of gold. Stafford could finish his career ending you. That's terrible.
Oh, Kelly Stafford sending carrier pigeons to 97.1 with all her complaints. This would be awesome.
Oh, God. Hey, Paulie, who you got tonight, USA or Canada? Talk to me.
USA. We're going to do it in Boston for the Beantown.
Okay.
And you know what? It's going to be one hell of a game because Canada's going to come out firing on all cylinders. And, you know, it's not widely talked about. A guy brought it up on Karsh's show. But there are four hometown boys on that USA team, man, that are playing some great hockey. So I'm telling you, you know me, I'm a Nista. I coached for 25 years in the youth leagues, and this is my passion, man. I am going to be tuned in, locked and loaded, and ready.
I can't wait.
Team USA.
I can't wait. I hope you're right because it would be hilarious to laugh at the Canadians. I just worry they're going to come out like Voltron tonight. My personal opinion. David, ticket text, and we will get it moving.
Common denominator for the Vikings, Packers, and Bears is a weak offensive line. If we get Miles or Crosby, I could care less if Stafford ends up with the Vikings because he'll be running for his life.
Okay, time out. That is just factually not true. Mm-hmm. Like, you can say it about the Bears, but the Packers and the Vikings are two of the better pass protection offensive lines in the league. Like, let's not make things up because it makes us feel better.
And it's February. Not like the other teams can't fix.
No, don't you get it? No, you don't get it. No one else gets better. Only the Lions.
Oh,
stop it with your cursed facts.
Let Brad Cook got you
right.
Kyle and Howell. If we get Myles Garrett, I don't care if the Vikings sign Dan Marino.
Well, that's
I'm
okay.
Not worried.
I would be with you, except I don't think we're getting said player.
Correct.
That's why Rico and I talk about wanting said player. Now, if Stafford doesn't arrive here, we can take a breath. But the fact that he's in the pole position to go to the Vikings? No.
With all the toys that the Vikings had.
Well, and juxtapose that with Myles Garrett right now, the odds are not in Detroit's favor.
No, because they... I don't want to be mean.
I'm just talking about the vacation coming up.
I'm not doing it. It just... That's the whole point, is that can you imagine an offseason where Garrett goes to the Bears and Stafford goes to the Vikings and I have to listen to Let Brad Cook? In an offseason, we lost seven coaches, including both coordinators.
And your first pick is pick 28 unless you trade to move up.
Which I'm not doing. Because it's just the cost.
Oh, no.
Which means I'm not an impact player in year one, possibly.
David, I'm not doing it because there are so many defensive players that will slide down. You're not going to get the best one, but this is one where he's going to have to pick the right one. What you don't want to do is kind of like what the Eagles did. You went out and drafted two corners. They drafted two corners. They had two impact corners. Yours not so much.
So what you're saying is you don't want to react.
and then trade up to get Terry and Arnold because you didn't trade up to get Quinyon Mitchell before the Eagles did.
Yes.
That's
right.
What you're saying?
I want proven commodities. I think the time of drafting is over if you plan on winning the Super Bowl here in the next 2 years. Your young players will get better. We know this. But what we need is an immediate.
And also, I need to see what's going to happen with these seven new coaching on the staff. Like, I don't know what the defense is going to look like. Defense may look more like that, but then again, he may want to become his own man. Offensively, I have no clue. Because the relationship that he had with Ben Johnson, I don't know if that's going to translate. Is that going to be almost like a stepfather situation where it's going to get awkward at times? Where, you know what, Goff is just going to kind of freelance because I didn't really care for that play.
And
Ben Johnson would have called this play.
Correct.
Well, Ben Johnson's not here, son.
And it matters. I don't want Lions fans. You're not going to learn that in the preseason.
He's not going.
You're not going to learn that in practice.
And you know what? You're not going to learn that in the first two games. By game three, you'll know. Like, okay, this is the golf we have. So,
and he's very good.
Yeah.
The whole point is, it's okay to say, you know what? I don't think he's getting better at this stage of his career, and he might take a slight step back because you've got a whole cast of new coaches. That's not insane. And that doesn't mean he's bad. Look, if they're able to make a seamless transition, they will have executed what the Eagles did, which is the rarest thing ever, considering it's the first time it's ever happened.
A seamless transition in
losing both coordinators, continuing on, and having a better year than the year before. It's the only time it's ever happened in the history of the NFL.
Well, they fell off for a year, and then they came back.
No, you're not allowed to say that. It's
Okay.
I've had enough of you.
America!
You're not allowed to say that. Let's go over to Riley, 97.1. Riley, what's going on?
Hello. So I get off of work, and I turn the car on. The first words I hear are, Jordan Love is better than Jared Goff.
I said can be. I think he'll take a step.
He's the worst quarterback in division.
He might be if Stafford comes here.
So I don't like what Jared Goff did against Commanders, but in no world is Jordan Love better than Jared Goff.
All right, well, the world...
Even in the 3 years.
No, the world does exist. The world, it's called 2023, where Jordan Love had the exact same season as Jared Goff.
What about this year?
Yeah, when Jordan Love was hurt all year, yes. What I've said is him getting healthy and Goff losing his offensive coordinator who's a wizard, I could absolutely see a shift. I don't think that's crazy, Riley.
Goff wasn't injured.
So you think Stafford's better than Goff?
Yes,
right
I do.
Now.
Yes, I do.
What about in the playoff game against Philadelphia?
Where he in the snow moved the ball to the 14 and had two cracks to beat the Eagles?
In the last drive.
Yeah. Did he fumble the ball or did Kyren Williams?
I'm talking about the last drive where he overthrew Puka Nacua by 20 yards.
Okay, so one bad throw, Stafford sucks. That's what we're doing?
But Riley, we can do – did you see the game the week before where it was the Lions and the Commanders? And
I said I don't like what Jared Goff did in that game, and he can't have four turnovers in the biggest game of the season. But, I mean, if you look at per-game stats, I mean – Stafford or Jordan Love doesn't even compare to Jared Goff.
Again, I just said it to you, Riles. He had the same year as Goff in 23 in his age 25 season. He was hurt all year this year.
All right. We'll let time tell. I do agree. I think Caleb Williams will be better, though.
Okay. So
I'll give
fine.
Caleb Williams. But Jared Goff in three years, I don't think Jordan Love will be better than Jared Goff.
All right. And I want to leave you with this. I want to just help you with something, right? You're knocking Stafford. Yeah, you're right. He was terrible at Philadelphia, throwing for 324, two touchdowns and no picks, and having a chance to win the game, even though his running back fumbled it twice, including on his own 10. Is that really what the hill you want to die on?
Well,
Stafford in the snow at the Super Bowl champions, and he had a shot to beat him.
Oh, I would even say, if you want to go the whole route, well, you know what? Look at what Jordan Love did. Jordan Love was injured, and let's not forget this. Pretty much all his wide receivers were injured. He was throwing to just random guys. They pulled out the stadium. Like, his number one receiver, gone.
I'm going to need you to stop with the facts.
Okay.
They're not nice. Stop it.
Just saying.
I don't think it's crazy to talk about a 25-year-old quarterback, healthy, returning to a form and getting better, and for a quarterback who is 5, 6, 7 years older, losing the best offensive coordinator not named Andy Reid in football and saying, you know what, might be a little change there. Well, Rico has breaking news. Let's take a listen. Go ahead.
Mike, it looks like MLB will be experimenting with the robo-ump in the spring training.
Oh boy.
Not every game, and you're not going to get rid of the umpires, but what will happen is the umpires will do their job, but then the manager will get two challenges that they'll go and they'll check to see. And apparently this is faster than replay in football and replay in the NBA and replay whatever. And they'll come back and say, you know what? Nope, that was a ball or that was a strike. If you win your challenge, you keep it and you can use it again. If you lose your challenge, once that's it. You only get two per game.
I'm good with it. I've had enough of MLB officials, umpires rather, excuse me. I'm to a point. Do I want the game to slow down? No. But some of these umps are so egregious. And I mean, when you get in these playoff games, that first strike, I mean, the difference between 1-0 and 0-1 and what the outcome of the at-bat is from a percentage standpoint is massive. You don't have the ability to make those types of mistakes in huge at-bats. The difference between a 2-1 count or a 1-2 count or a count going square 2-2 instead of 3-1. I mean, these are massive moments. I'm good with it. I just think there needs to be more accountability because you have a number of just bum-ass umps who are terrible. And you know it. The dugout knows it. The player knows it. You got to have recourse. Now, do I want to see 14 of these a game? No. But if you use it in the right spot, let the robot dictate. Yeah, and I'm good with it. I know it flies in the face of you know, baseball purists. But, yes, I would love to see it full time. I've had enough.
Yeah, I think baseball purists would have to say that, you know, there's some games you're like, wait, that ball's a foot out the strike zone and you just called a third strike, really? So now you can go and challenge that and be like, actually, that was ball four and take your base. So just wanted to pass that along. And it's not every game, but roughly every team will get to 20 games this spring training.
I'd love
because it's due to stadiums and technology.
My fear is we're not going to see it fully implemented until the new CBA in 2027. I think there'll absolutely be a labor war. Because right now, you got Dodgers and Mets. They make up 23% of the total expenditure in the league payroll-wise.
Well, you got the Dodgers who found the loophole in the system. Like I said, it's basically the shift in baseball. Yeah. It wasn't illegal, but it was like, come on, are we really doing this? Well,
yeah, but again,
you tell us we can't stop.
Dodgers-Mets make up a quarter of the league's payrolls.
Right,
come on, man. You got 10 teams who spent less than $50 million this offseason. It's more than just a loophole. The league isn't trying.
Right. No, I was just talking about the Dodgers and paying you 10 years
later.
Oh, yeah,
no, I know. The deferred money and all that crap. Please, all of it. It's a mess. And then Manfred comes out yesterday and he doesn't want to criticize the Dodgers.
Yeah.
How about the Dodgers getting a TV deal that pays them $300 million a year? What, are you kidding me? They own their park. They own the parking lots. They own the TV. They own it all. So they can do everything. And you're like, okay, that's fine. But if the rest of the league's not trying, do you realize the St. Louis Cardinals, that are one of the great baseball cities in America, one of the best organizations in the league, did not sign a singular free agent? Zero. Did not sign a soul. The least they could have done is dig up the body of Jack Buck. Sign him. They signed nothing.
That's not the Marlins. That's the historical St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, I think, the best thing that the baseball can do, if you're not going to have a salary cap, you have a floor. You have to be competitive. You have to spend at least this amount of money.
The floor should be $150 million, period. Period. Floor. League average right now should be the floor. If I'm not going to cap the teams up high, the floor's got to be $150. And if you don't like it, go to another effing league.
True.
I've just had enough. 10 teams spent less than $50 million. What are they doing with the revenue sharing money? I'll tell you what they're doing. They're violating this covenant. They're supposed to spend all that money.
Or we can just bank it and...
I know. All right.
Give
thank
you new
you.
Menu items.
God.
Go That's ahead. Across the board. It's not a
I
shot
know what
here.
No, I know what you were doing. Yeah. You're fine.
Thanks, Mike, Rico. This conversation has me convinced more than ever now that I'll die never seeing a Super Bowl, and I'm only 28.
That no, that's not the Westland. Case. I just, you don't want this guy in your division.
Root for Radio, Stafford to Minnesota, Garrett to Philly, Parsons to Chicago, and Crosby to Green Bay. That is from Mike.
Yeah, and Brad cooking. And let me know if you end up in the Super Bowl.
Wait, where's Parsons going?
Chicago. This is Parsons going to Chicago. That's his route for radio.
Seems I think like, the route for radio you'd much prefer is Stafford to the Giants, and he's in a wheelchair by week six with arthritis.
Or like Aaron Rodgers, three plays in.
And dead.
Season's over.
There's look what he just did. I said arthritis. This guy's got him blown his Achilles.
Well, no, because when that happened, I just thought he had buyer's remorse. I didn't think he got hurt. He was just sitting there like, there's three plays in my offensive line. It's like fourth and 52. We're going to do this the whole time. And then I was like, oh, wow, he's really hurt. He just looked like he was disgusted.
Someone says Lions should just quit now. They're asking me to play the drive.
See, this is the problem. You're turning into a soft-ass fan base. Nobody said that. Nobody said you're not going to be good. But this is what happens when other day parts play dress up and put on sunglasses and tell you you're the prettiest belle of the ball. If you want reality, here it is. The other teams get paid too. You had a very fortunate season this year, and it still netted nothing. And now there's a very real shot of, yes, a Hall of Fame QB with a Super Bowl coming to this division on a roster that only lacked said quarterback. You're right. We'll play pretend. You losing seven coaches didn't matter. Goff won't have any regression. Brad will cook. It's all good.
Well, I was just laughing at the caller who broke down Stafford's final, you know, drive in Philadelphia.
He got mad at one throw, and then I go, he throws for 324 and two touchdowns right in Philly in the snow with a chance to beat him.
And I'm like, but we're just not going to act like Goff's game at home.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like the way he finished. Well, then which is it?
So, yeah, that was
look,
just
if I've
it.
Got one game to win, regardless of roster, and I can choose Matthew Stafford or Jared Goff, I'm taking Matthew Stafford. And you know what? So would the NFL GMs.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I hate to break that to you.
And here's the thing. When that one game where you came down in overtime, that was all David Montgomery.
Yeah, 100%. So hold on. Think this right. Life on the line. Like, if you're an NFL GM and there's a gun to your temple, life on the line, you got to win a game Sunday. 72 hours to prepare. You taking Stafford or Goff? Nobody's taking Goff, and that's not a shot at him. I like Goff.
Or, you know what? You got one final drive, one timeout.
You're taking Stafford every time.
85 yards. You got to drive down the field.
Every time. And it's just like, oh, so if we put it in a different context, then it's wah-wah. No. 248-539-9797. We got a blitz to do. And then I have got PK Subban. Audio you do not want to miss. Because I think he is speaking truth about everything wrong with sports right now. And maybe everything right with hockey. I want to play the audio for you. We'll do that in about 15 minutes. 97.1.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.